Thank you, Mr. Bram, and we'll conduct the Finance Committee meeting from this perch as opposed to moving, if you don't mind, because I think, as you said, the agenda is rather short. So I'll call to order the Finance and Administration Oversight Committee for September 11th. We have before us the approval of the agenda and the approval of the minutes of July 10th, 2008. A motion?
So move, Mr. Chair.
Second? All those in favor? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no, ayes have it. Action item A.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. I'm here today to present this item and move the action item. From a background standpoint, what we're bringing forward today is a budget amendment to account for the extension of the final service on the N22 and an authorization to hold public hearings on the N22 and 98. Because of the budget amendment to the N22 that we're in front of the budget. Yes, follow-up question. The background on the N22, it provides bus service that operates in the Union Station and Navy Yard, past Eastern Market, past the Capitol, and ends up at the Navy Yard. Originally started the route on weekdays only, and on the 7th of June, we came to this committee earlier this year and started as a experimental service at the end of March that included evening service and included weekend service, and specifically for a 6-month experimental period, which ends the end of this month. Service has been running for these 6 months. It's effectively increased our weekday ridership from 1,000 riders to about 1,600 riders a day. And through this experimental service, the district assumed all of the costs. The action is going to occur around here. What we are proposing to do today is to extend that experimental service for another 6 months, from October through March. At that time, we are anticipating that the district will be taking over that service, so that's why it's a 6-month extension, not a ongoing thing beyond that. The district has advised us their intention to take over both the N22 and the 98 route. We have more shuttle through the district at the end of March. To make that happen, we have a procedural process to have public hearings, get feedback to it, and then we would be required to come back to the board to come to the opposite of the financing impact. The top half of the chart on this slide shows that to extend the service for 6 months is a an operating cost of $600,000 and a subsidy of over $515,000. That is the action that we're bringing forward today. All of that expense, all that subsidy would be borne by the district. As we move forward with the public hearing process, if we were to discontinue the N22 then from this fiscal year, there would be slightly under $900,000 impact if we do that. Again, that's not the budget action we're bringing forward today. We're bringing forward the authorization of public hearing. So recommendation, there's two recommendations I'm bringing forward. One is to amend the budget. $515,000 of subsidy would be borne by the district for the 6-month extension and the authority to hold a public hearing for both the discontinuation of the 98 and the N22. That concludes my presentation.
All right. Questions? If not, a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the recommendation.
With the recommendation as printed or shown did not reflect or indicate that the cost to be borne by the District of Columbia. It's
resolution.
The resolution does? Okay. All right. So is there a second to the motion?
Second.
All right. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor?
I just want to say, if I may, Muriel, that this is, I have some questions about the actual the financial aspects of this. But since this motion is only authorizing to get a hearing, a public hearing, which is required by our compact, and also an extension of our previous commitment, then I'm going to save these questions until for a later date, because I don't think they really are needed to be raised at this point.
Okay.
But I just want to note that there are issues relating to the regional subsidy and other costs associated, particularly with the N-22, that I do think needs some examination.
All right. Thank you. So, motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Ayes have it. Thank you.
And if I may also add, Mr. Mayor Yule, we are proceeding with this is a major expansion of the D.C. circulator. And as recently as last night, we had a meeting in Adams Morgan where we are considering a specific route which would extend the northern, would change the northern route that is in place at the present time and extend it to Woodley Park. And a similar discussion is occurring for the route that is now being traveled by the N-22. So this is a very exciting development for the District of Columbia and the D.C. Circulator, and we are proceeding. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we move to information items A, financial report.
This would be the monthly financial report for June, the year-end report for fiscal 2008. I'd like to just skip through some highlights on this and draw your attention to page 22 in your paper presentation. There's a financial table here that shows the year-end results for fiscal 2008. I'm happy to report that the budget came in under budget, due to revenue coming in more favorable than the budget assumed and expenses coming in under budget. If we get the chart up on the table, you'll see up on the screen, you'll see that revenues came in almost $6 million better than budget, and expenses came in almost $8 million under budget, which was, again, a variance of about 1% favorable on both line items. Here it is. You can see on your papers right here the revenue favorability of about 1% and the expense favorability of about 1%. You combine those two numbers, and it generates a year-end budget surplus of about $13 million. These are preliminary numbers. The external auditors are on the property. They go through the normal process of reviewing all the actuals and then certifying those. They'll come back to the committee or the audit committee and bring those results when they're done. But at this point, it looks like we've got about a $13 million surplus. Under the current board policy, any year-end surplus up to 1% of the annual operating budget can be set aside in an operating reserve to fund future needs. So staff would be moving, if we maintain this $13 million surplus, we'd be moving that into the existing reserve, which currently has a zero balance, and that could be used at board discretion in future fiscal years to cover whatever the board would deem as necessary. So that's just a quick look at the financials. It was a good year. Revenues grew by 1%, expenses under budget by 1%.
One question,
Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Chairman, could you explain the higher than expected health care cost claims? What's driving that?
There is always some small variability in the health insurance programs. We're basically self-insured with some of the bigger policies. And what we get on an annual basis is an assumption from actuaries and the health insurance professionals about the number of claims that employees will put in.
Okay.
And sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. Each of the individual plans have built-in reserves to work as a shock absorber if there's anything dramatic that happens. It's not really indicative of a trend that's going on. It's okay. Just 1 year you guess high, 1 year you guess low.
Okay.
I was going to just add to you one of the positive notes, and unfortunately there's not many for next year's budget, is health insurance inflation is moderating. In the last couple of years, we've seen health insurance inflation in the teens. 12, 13, 14% has been fairly normal. At this point, looking forward, health insurance inflation seems like it's in the 7, 8, 9% range. So while that's still 2 to 3 times the rate of general inflation, it's not as bad as it used to be.
At some point, not at this particular meeting, I'd like to get some information on our wellness program.
Sure.
And what kind of things one we are both doing in that regard, and what kind of receptivity our employees have had to that, and you know, if we have any way of tracking.
Yeah, actually we do.
So at some point, I'd like to, not now, but that's something I have an interest in.
Yeah, there's actually been a lot of effort in that area in the wellness program, and we can get that to you.
I'd like to note, and correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the $13.2 million surplus is the one-time $4 million insurance health and welfare experience refund.
Yes.
Of $4 million. So, so that's a one-time, one-timer. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think we had past experience receiving such a refund of that magnitude.
Yeah, in every fiscal year, there's always a couple of those things that kind of come through, just one-time only things, and they tend to contribute to the bottom line results. Even if it hadn't happened, I still think we'd be within 1% of budget a year.
Okay. Other questions? If not, move to the next report.
Well, what I was going to do, at the last committee meeting, the committee requested us staff take a deeper look at ridership trends of the past year, both to get a better understanding of what had been going on this last fiscal year and also to provide probably a better base of understanding as we try to set the forecast for the upcoming fiscal 10 budget process. I want to skip ahead to page 41 in your presentation, and I apologize for the sheer volume of information in this report. It's not normal for us, but asking us to do this is like turning kids loose inside of Toys R Us. We kind of went everywhere and looked at everything and put it all in here. What I want to do is just touch on some high-level issues with ridership and then open it up to your questions if you want to drill down a little bit more.
What page was that?
41.
41 of 70.
At a macro level for the year, Metro Rail ridership, total, grand total, not days, weekends, or anything, just total rail ridership grew almost 4% year over year, actual over actual. So it's not looking at budgets and assumptions. That was a real rate of growth of almost 4%. Metro bus grew at a rate of about 1%, and you can see the 16% Metro Access ridership numbers that we talked about earlier today. All in all, it's a pretty good result. The trains are crowded, the buses are crowded, but we are still growing. We haven't yet hit a capacity point. And I'm going to put a pin in that and come back to it in just a minute. What you see on the bottom of this page is the monthly, normal monthly variations in our ridership, where you see during the springtime, which is the kind of, I'm sorry, out here, the April, May, June time frame, we get a lot of tourists in town. There's a lot of ridership compared to the winter periods where there's not a lot of ridership. So the difference between the highs and lows, you can almost really attribute to the tourism industry in the Washington market. Any place on this chart where the green line is higher than the blue or the orange line means that ridership happened higher than either budget or last year's actuals. There were a couple of months of pretty startling results. October, the actual ridership was dramatically higher than both budget and last year's actual, and there was no apparent reason. There really was nothing memorable that happened in October.
Yes.
This month here in April, we got a lot of interest in this month. You can see the actual was dramatically higher than budget, way dramatically higher than last April. And the interesting thing that was going on here, as unusual as it was, we had snow last April. So the dip in last April's actuals was kind of an anomaly. We would have expected the actuals to be where the blue line is. Nevertheless, it's good results. I mean, I'm not trying to say it's something bad. But for each one of these, we kind of go through this and try to figure out why is the actual higher or lower than budget. And we do it for both rail and for bus and for Metro Access, and that's a lot of what's in this package. But all this does is look at the high-level total ridership. What the committee asked us to do was drill down at a lower level to see if there's patterns changing, behaviors changing. And I want to draw your attention to a really interesting table that's on page... God, I'm getting old. 45 in your package. And there's a chart up at the top of page 45. And we dissected Metro Rail ridership into time of day and day of week. And you can see a comparison between 07 and 08. And again, this is actual to actual, so we're not looking at any budget assumptions or anything like that. And you can see on an average weekday at the top here in these spreadsheet tables, we break an average weekday into what happens in what we call the AM peak, the morning rush hour, the midday kind of lunchtime crowd, PM peak, which is the evening rush hour, and then really evening, which is late night service, anything that's going on probably after 6:30, 7 o'clock in the region. The core business historically for Metro Rail has been commuter traffic, AM peak, PM peak. And these charts are showing that core business is growing 3.5% to 4%. that's great. It's the long-term trend of what this system has been able to accomplish. The interesting change is what's happening in evenings and what's happening on the weekends. We've seen pretty dramatic growth in regular weekday service at night and dramatic growth on the weekends. The good news for us is that's where we have capacity. We can meet that kind of growth without straining the system. If we had 7 or 8% growth in morning and evening rush hours, we'd be struggling with that. But if we get 7% growth continuing on Sundays, we can handle that. So that's an opportunity for revenue expansion that doesn't cause cost increases. And it seems to be a slight change in people's behaviors. And you can kind of guess as what's causing it. There's a more vibrant downtown nightlife. There's just more things going on in the region these days that transit serves well. So you see a lot of people riding the trains at 8, 9 o'clock at night, where 10, 15 years ago, you didn't see that. It was a sleepy commuter town, and by dusk, everybody had left the city and gone out to the suburbs. So it's kind of an interesting pattern change that seems to be going on. And from a budgetary standpoint, it's something that could generate revenue growth for us without a lot of cost impact to it. The other interesting thing, and it's a very subtle thing, but it's a behavioral change, is going on down in these graphs. And what we're seeing, we talked before about a change in what we call the average fare. You combine what people pay to ride during the rush hour, what they pay to ride on the weekends, and you come up with just the average. And for many, many years, we've been seeing that average fare climb. And what had been happening is we'd been building parking garages out at the far end of the system, which was allowing more and more long-distance travel over the years. The parking garage program has largely come to an end, and while there's still growth happening everywhere in the system, the growth in the short-distance trips is happening faster than the long-distance trips. And it's because of the nightlife and the weekends and people coming in to see the museum. So basically what I'm saying is everything's growing, everything's getting bigger and better, but the off-peak discretionary trips are growing faster than our usual business of core commuting trips. And it's a behavioral change in the region. It's a very dramatic behavioral change in the region. From a budget standpoint, the shifts are subtle and the dollars are pretty small, but it's a change. And it's something that had been going on all year. I don't think we paid attention to it because we don't usually drill down to this level of analysis in these reports. But it is something that we wanted to call your attention to because it has long-term potential impact for the system. Those were kind of the highlights. There's a lot of charts in here where we dissected ridership by individual station. You can see where individuals, the top 10 growth stations on both an aggregate basis and a percentage basis. There's tables in here that show you actually stations that are going through decline. You can look at individual parking lots and parking garages and see where there's growth and decline going on. All of those are important to look at, but they don't seem to be kind of macro-level changes in behavior as much as they are just, you know, you open a Target store near a particular rail station, and suddenly that rail station is going to be more busy. It's kind of common sense, and we see that being borne out in these results. So to kind of summarize what it does for us in the future, as we come back and try to make estimates for the FY10 revenue and ridership forecasts, we're seeing a pretty healthy continuation of growth on the railroad and on the buses, and it would at this point lead me to believe that we're going to want to continue that forecast into the 10 budgeting process, which just generates more revenue in next year's forecast. And I was intending to have the July and August reports here for you. We had some technical difficulties, but I've got preliminary results, and the current months are consistent with what we saw all last year. So the bottom line message here is that ridership is growing in all time periods, on all modes. There's just some parts of it that's growing faster than others. And with that, I'd happily take any questions.
Thank you. Question. Page 59 of 75 and or other pages, 58, 59, and 60, Metro Rail average weekday ridership for the month of June. I appreciate the drilling down process exercise you've done here, but that's just weekday, but you don't have a similar chart or similar charts for weekend, yet you so noted that the larger percentage increases are on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. Do we have some, can we get some breakdown, detailed breakdown?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got it. I was kind of resisting the temptation to make this thing as thick as a phone book, but we've got it, and happy to provide it for you.
I appreciate the fact that, you know, this pick up Columbia, downtown, nightlife, and everything is contributing. Helping to contribute to, but I also like to think that all the jurisdictions are helping to contribute
to
increased ridership.
Absolutely true.
Not just solely people coming into the district, but people circulating throughout the entire region.
You're correct. You're absolutely correct.
Well, I think it's nightlife, but I think it's also the large number of people who are living downtown, which is a fundamental change from just a few years ago. And so they're actually traveling home at later hours, and they may be working in elsewhere. What are you showing in terms of late night, the weekend late night?
I don't have this in this individual report. We can get you that. When we first turned on the Friday and Saturday late night service, it grew very rapidly and kind of hit a plateau point. Mm-hmm. It hasn't declined. It hasn't grown. There's kind of a core market for that's being satisfied. So we can get you the specific information, but it wasn't something that initially looked like it was a
behavioral
change.
I'd like to see that as a ridership trend. I'd like to have,
absolutely,
have some information on whatever that trend might be. And in terms of the stations that are increasing in ridership, could you go over that just again one more time?
Yes. Let me get back to page 47 in your report. The table at the bottom of page 47 shows stations with highest growth rates,
right,
and we arrayed it in either passenger counts or percentage increases. Navy Yard topped the chart either way you cut it, whether you're counting number of people going through the station or percentage change. Columbia Heights was top three either way you cut it. You can see for yourself, and it's pretty self-evident. You know, where we've got stations that have had a fair amount of development or changes going on around the station is where we're seeing the growth rates. But we did want to highlight for you the top 10. On the next page, we gave you the bottom five.
But in terms of percentage growth, you know, putting aside the Navy Yard, which is pretty obvious what's going on there, Columbia Heights is 23% increase.
Right. And we mentioned in the text, you put a Target department store next to a station in an area that has a pretty high residential population, and you're going to see pretty healthy travel.
Okay.
Other questions? All right. Thank you. Now we go to the schedule.
The next presentation was really just a look ahead at the calendar that we're setting up for this committee to begin reviewing the FY 2010 budget. It will begin in January, where the general manager will come forth and make the proposal in the 2010 budget. Internally, we're just kind of gearing up the process right now. Our internal budget kickoff is being scheduled, and we're going through all the technical stuff that we go through to bring you that budget. But this would set up the calendar from January, when the general manager makes his proposal on both the operating and the capital side. And we'll take you through the pretty typical process that the committee has used in the last couple of years. On the capital side, this budget that's being proposed will be the last year of what's called Metro Matters. And there's a very large effort also underway to bring forward what will become the replacement for Metro Matters beginning in fiscal 2011. So if there were questions about the schedule, I'd be happy to take those. But this is the work plan for the year ahead.
Okay, thank you. Just some comments. Again, excellent presentation. The numbers look good, obviously, through June and in the fiscal year. But it appears that at least for next several months, maybe 3 to 4, 5 months, 6 months, hopefully, we'll continue to see the increase in ridership and the resulting increase in revenues, which, you know, that summarizes into surpluses,
yes,
for the system. And as the manager is putting together the new budget, FY10 budget, it would be important to keep local jurisdictions abreast in terms of what is happening, because certainly we're all struggling in terms of our bottom line with the economic downturn, trying to do our budgets, and if there's going to be an indication that, you know, not so much a refund of surpluses, but that we don't have additional, we don't have to ante up additional dollars to the plate, that certainly goes an awful long ways in helping us.
I understand.
Because I can tell you, we're pitching pennies right now, all of us. Sooner the better. Yes.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'm very much aware of that. In fact, the state of Maryland yesterday announced major reductions in its highway and transit programs, and which will impact us in the upcoming year. And discussions with the various jurisdictions is very clear to me that there will not be significant increases or any increases in some cases in revenues coming for operations. And we are working on that process today. I'm looking at every expenditure that we have. FY09, if it isn't critical and absolutely necessary for operations or some issues of safety, we're going to make some reductions there. If I look forward to FY10, I think the picture is not even as bright as it is today, from what I'm hearing from the jurisdictions, and we're very mindful of that. As we develop the budget, as we look at our expenditures for this year, and over the next week, I will send some announcements out to you of steps that we're taking to reduce our costs this year.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I will note that all increases in ridership does not necessarily bring the representative increase in revenues. And I draw attention to the 16.9% increase in ridership in Metro Access. And in addition to that, the previous discussion we had regarding the Medicaid funding issue as well. That's a cost that I am very concerned about, because you know we've never come to any grips with how we're going to deal with the cost of that service. No one's ever drawn any attention to it, drawn a lot of attention to it, but never any solutions. And as it continues to increase, even with our efforts to do the free Metro card or smart card access, that is something that I think we need to draw some more attention to and some concern about how that impacts the budget.
Very good. Questions, business? Standard journey.